Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Today on The Brian Lehrer Show, death and jaywalking on the Upper West Side. This year has already seen some horrific and deadly traffic accidents in the neighborhood and a tabloid sensation police encounter with an 84-year-old jaywalker. We'll ask what's going on, including whether bad intersection design has anything to do with it and whether a crackdown on jaywalking is part of Mayor de Blasio's Vision Zero program to eliminate pedestrian traffic deaths. That's coming up. Also today, more details on the Hoboken Development Project that Governor Christie is accused of withholding Sandy aid to promote. Who is for it? Why was Mayor Zimmer against it? And why might the governor have cared so much? David Sirota from Salon Magazine today. He lives in Colorado and is following the rollout of legal marijuana there, plus more. But first, now that the NYPD is not stopping and frisking young blacks and Latinos in great numbers anymore, they apparently have more time for Asian American senior citizens. There's the 84-year-old jaywalker on the Upper West Side, who I mentioned, Kang Wong. We'll get to that story. And whoever thought this would be a news item in New York City, a conflict involving some Korean American retirees in Queens drinking coffee at McDonald's. But it is. Maybe you heard about the incident at the Northern Boulevard and Parsons Boulevard, Golden Arches in Flushing, involving some seniors who had been lingering for hours over a cup of coffee or so. It wound up in McDonald's calling the police and a compromise brokered by State Assemblyman Ron Kim, who joins me now. Assemblyman, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Yeah, thank you, Brian. Thank you for having me on today.
And because this raises larger issues of options for senior citizens to spend their daytime hours, we also have Bobby Sackman, Director of Public Policy for CSCS, the Council of Senior Centers and Services of New York City. Bobby, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Assemblyman, how did this private incident of how long a specific group of seniors can sit in a particular restaurant without buying anything, how did this ever become a public issue?
Yeah, it started many years ago, actually, when the local franchisee opened his restaurant up to the seniors by giving them an incentive to come in at a discounted coffee. I think this was approximately 6 years ago. So he wanted the older adults to come in and patronize his store. But the last couple of years, they really just loved hanging out there and came in the morning and just decided to just stay all day and just to connect with their peers and friends. The problem is that the McDonald's there has limited seating. There's only about 25 seats to 30 seats. So during the busy hours where they need to make a profit, they were having problems with customers complaining that they don't have a seat to play, to eat, and oftentimes would ask for a refund. So that's when the clash had occurred, and there was a miscommunication with the seniors, and obviously some cultural barriers as well. And that's when things got a little out of hand, and I think the seniors were irate and just started throwing the coffees around, and that's when they called the police. I think it was actually four times that this had happened with the police, and obviously the community was very upset that the police were there and they didn't think that it needed to go to that place.
And let's give seniors a voice in this conversation on the phones. Retirees or other seniors, did this story hit home for you when you first saw or heard about it because you and your friends need a place to spend time during the day yourselves, and it's not always easy to find one? 212-433-9692, not to defend throwing coffee around in a McDonald's, but you want to go out with people, not just stay in your homes, even in your homes with your friends. That's just normal. How much trouble have you had finding places to be? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And if you have some good spots, what advice would you give to others in your position? That's if you have a good place to go. Not to invite everyone to come and overwhelm your corner, no, but more the kind of place you and your friends hang out at. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Bobby Sackman, what's the context for this? Is it always a challenge for many seniors without much money to find places to congregate during the day?
Yes, I would think it is. And I think the first thing we need to acknowledge is the growing number of elderly immigrants in New York City. There was a recent study that came out that showed that 46% of older adults in New York City are foreign-born. And, of course, the whole mix of cultures that comes with that. And all too often in discussions of diversity and other issues, the elderly remain pretty invisible. And so I guess they've come crashing through at this point. So I think it is hard. You know, I represent senior centers across the city. And interestingly, folks from Asian countries are really flocking to the centers. But nothing is for everybody. You know, one size doesn't fit all. So if somebody wants to take a different option and find another place to spend the day with their friends, it is hard, you know, because if it's a private business, can they get there? Can they walk there? You know, can they spend the whole day? But I think what this also shows is that at any age we need friendship and we need not to be isolated.
Absolutely. So, Assemblyman, I read about the compromise where they won't congregate for long periods of time during the busy lunch hours at that McDonald's, as you helped to broker. But the Times had a follow-up story yesterday that said some of the seniors were back doing their thing. So is this over?
I think it's going to have some hiccups for the next couple of weeks. I mean, what happened was over last weekend, we met with the owner and we brought in about 12 seniors at our office and I had a private meeting. And once the owner actually saw once the seniors actually saw the owner and realized that this wasn't the corporation, this wasn't the big bad wolf that they're dealing with, there's actually a small business owner who had been in the community for 20 years who's trying to accommodate them. They understood. They got that it's a business, and they don't want to ruin a small business in the community, and they're able to see it from the other side. And you know, but there will always be a couple of seniors who, you know, will continue to complain, and they have our number. And they will continue to collaborate with our office to make sure that things are smoother moving forward.
So we know where they won't go now, or at least they're not supposed to go during the busy lunchtime hours. Do we know where they will go or where they can go?
Sure. And we partner up with one of our local senior centers, KCS, Korean Community Services, where they'll provide actually free transportation from their site from McDonald's to their center, which is about 20 blocks away, anytime that they want to go back and forth. So this, I mean, it was one of the more better compromises for the seniors. They can go during lunch hours to get their free lunches and hang out with other seniors. And if they want to come back after 3 p.m., they can choose to do that at the local McDonald's.
212-433-WNYC. Bill in New Rochelle. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bill.
Hi. Well, there's two things. The main thing is that I'm a senior. I'm still working, and I used to get senior coffee at McDonald's, and the one in New Rochelle, because of this incident, I believe, eliminated senior coffee about a week and a half ago. And the other thing is that there's a lot of Koreans. We don't have a large Korean community here in New Rochelle, but there's a lot of Koreans go to the New Rochelle McDonald's on a weekend, and it may be because there is a Korean church here. A lot of people come over from Flushing, I guess, and go to the Korean church here in New Rochelle.
All right, Bill, thank you very much. Well, it sounds, Bobby Sackman, like maybe this is having a spillover effect to other McDonald's, if Bill is right, and that one in New Rochelle has eliminated the senior coffee.
Well, you know, I think there's a couple of things at play here. For many years, we've tried to work with the Department for the Aging to allow the senior centers themselves to do services off-site, so that they could be more out in the community. And a lot of that has to do with a lack of funding to do it. And I think this raised the issue even more, again, that we need to be able to go beyond the four walls of a senior center and see where we can reach people. But the other thing I wanted to return to, just, again, a little bit of generic level, mm-hmm. is that when we talk about immigration in New York City and immigrant issues, we don't talk about elderly immigrants. And so I think that the Department for the Aging, the Mayor's Office of Immigrant Affairs, immigrant advocates, and aging advocates and other people in the aging field, we need to come together with the Assemblyman and others to take a look at what's going on, because ironically, the senior centers and other programs funded through the Department for the Aging, we are on the front line of community services for elderly immigrants all over New York City, but nobody ever looks at it that way. And I think there's a lot of work to be done.
So what would that mean, Bobby, for example, on a policy level, what would that mean that helps immigrants in particular who are seniors?
Well, I think on a policy level, first of all, is that in conversations in the new administration on the city council side, that if you're talking about immigrant issues, it can't just end at a certain age. You know, that if you are 60, 65, 70, 80, no one's paying attention to your needs. And so how do we integrate this into, when we talk about immigrants in New York City, how do we integrate older adults into this conversation? And many, and I'm sure the assemblyman can speak to this probably even more than I can, many of these older adults, they've come here elderly. So the cultural shock of being here, and I think that's exactly what's going on with this McDonald's situation, the culture shock is huge. They come with their families. The grandkids begin to become Americanized. Their kids are going out and working, and they're left isolated. And so they're trying their way to come together. And it sometimes works and sometimes obviously doesn't work as well. So how do we begin to not just leave elderly immigrants out of a conversation that we have?
Assemblyman Ron Kim of Queens, you want to weigh in on that?
Sure. I absolutely agree with Bobby. In our district office alone in my first year at Flushing, we serviced over 11,000 constituents, and the majority of them happened to be older Americans and a ton of Asian American senior citizens. And there's just so thousands and thousands of heartbreaking stories and just clashes that we deal with on a daily basis in a district like Flushing. And this happens to be just one of them. And for instance, you know, we dealt with this 88-year-old older American who's living by with four other seniors in a one-bedroom apartment in Flushing, trying to get by with no family. And he has a walker, and he has cataracts, and he's just trying to put $200 a month together just to pay his end of the rent. And it's not fair, you know. They come here and they have certain social safety nets, and this is, you know, a place where we should be able to provide certain space and options for our older Americans.
Richard in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Richard. Richard, you're there? Hi.
There are places where you can go play chess, and that's one of the key things. You have to engage in something that a lot of the customers would take part in. There are places like the Bank of America across from Bryant Park. There's Wendy's. There's used to be Brimpy's. There are a lot of places.
Where there are chess boards, you're saying, that are indoors? Richard, where there are chess boards, some of them are indoors?
Yes, the Bank of America across from Bryant Park have chess tables.
Thank you very much. So, Bobby Sackman, that raises an adjunct issue, I guess, of things that seniors might do. I mean, some people might be perfectly happy hanging around and talking most of the day if that's all that's available. But activities, if people play chess, if people play bridge, whatever it is.
Well, I mean, ironically, again, you know, senior centers are for people who choose to go. And then there are endless stories of those lives often being transformed because they've been lonely or they're grieving some loss. And they have a lot of activities. They have health-related activities. They have cultural events. Obviously, they serve meals. And there's friendship there. But somebody might still choose to go sit over a cup of coffee somewhere for hours. And it's obviously that's their option to do that. So, you know, I don't think there's going to ever be sort of an easy answer, but I think on a I'm sorry to keep bringing you back a little to the macro level.
Good, that's
but unless
why you're
we
here.
Start looking at older adults, what are their lives like, what are the struggles in this city of older adults, and then put on top of that the whole cultural issue of, you know, being from, in this case, from Korea, moving to New York. You know, this is going to keep happening, because that's why I used the expression before, that the invisibility of older adults came crashing through in this incident, and by the way, I think in that jaywalking incident as well. You know, but what are the, you know, we don't hear in all the talk of progressive issues, which I welcome that discussion, nobody looks at aging as a progressive issue. But it's full of poverty and hunger and isolation and access to health care and affordable housing. It's all the same ingredients of what progressives are interested in. So how do we bring seniors into this fold and not leave them, you know, aside?
June in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello, June.
Hey there. Hi, I'm a recreation therapist. And there's such a thing called adult daycare, which every place, and in fact, there's so many that people just start up adult daycares because they're very profitable for businesses. And they have a bus. They will come, pick up the senior, bring them to the facility where they have activities and they can socialize, they get lunch, they get snacks, they have, you know, there's daycares, adult daycares for people that are strict, are more or less Chinese, different nationalities, mm-hmm. and there's so many they can choose from. It's like a big business. It's a big profit maker that the government provides.
Infantilizes the participants. But Bobby, I mean, just the name, adult daycare. But Bobby Sackman, go ahead.
Yeah, I really need to comment on that. Adult daycare is for people either with Alzheimer's and dementia or a substantial physical disability. And there's been abuse of adult daycare recently. I'm not going to go into it. And the government is getting down on the backs of people who are starting what's really false adult daycare. And they're trying to get money through the senior, through Medicaid and other things. It's a big issue. But the point is, it's for someone who's debilitated. It is not for that senior that's sitting in McDonald's or the senior that's going to a senior center wherever. It's really, it's like the special needs program of elderly service.
I'm glad you pointed that out. Assemblyman Kim, what is there in your district that might be organized in the Flushing area and thereabouts? Not the, you know, for people with Alzheimer's and those kinds of special needs, as Bobby Sackman was just referring to, but just more for seniors to do that's either government provided or private.
Sure. I mean, there's a proliferation of adult daycare centers, and they do have those options available to them, but they choose not to. They don't want to be confined into one place. They want to be empowered. They want the freedom to connect with other seniors on their terms, and I think they deserve to have that. And one possible, you know, legislation that I'm working on right now is to build a public-private partnership that may possibly give tax credits for small businesses that have a social setting in their establishments, and if they offer to give that setting up during non-busy hours, where seniors can hang out as long as they want, and partner up with local nonprofits to bring in services to them, they can get tax credits at the end of the year. And that is one, I think, solution. One of the solutions that we can look at to, you know, address this problem in a creative way.
Bob in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Bob.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm a lifelong social worker, and I'd like to say that what you have in Flushing and in many other communities are NORCs, naturally occurring retirement communities.
Are what? Oh, naturally occurring retirement communities.
That's correct.
NORCs.
That's the term. And there's a wonderful model, really, that goes back in America's history to the late 19th century, and that is the settlement house model. And I think what's needed in many of these immigrant communities for the elderly, for the new immigrants, for their children, is the development of a partnership between government and philanthropists in the community.
And I'm gonna jump out here because the line is pretty bad. But Bobby Sackman, did you hear that enough to comment on it? Is Settlement House a positive or a negative historical model here?
Settlement houses are terrific. They serve children, middle-aged people, and elderly people under one roof. I don't know how many of the programs are intergenerational. I think some of them are, but they, I think a lot of them are separate, you know, the generations. But it is a great model. In Queens, there's the Queens Community House, which was one of the actually original, one of the first settlement houses in the city. And so it is a great model. And I think that sometimes older adults want to do things intergenerationally, and sometimes older adults don't want to do things intergenerationally. But
right.
One of the budget cuts we suffered in the past 6 or 7 years was there was intergenerational funding for the senior centers, and it got totally eliminated.
Bobby, we're just about out of time, but on the macro, I imagine you were happy to see Mayor Bloomberg's Commissioner for the Aging, William Barrios Paoli, elevated to Deputy Mayor for Health and Human Services under Bill de Blasio. Does de Blasio have an aging agenda? Do you know?
Well, I think de Blasio needs to step up on aging. During the campaign, he did talk about there's a rent exemption program for elderly people, and it needs to be more robust. And we are actually, today is my organization's annual conference, and the deputy mayor, Lillian Barrios Paoli, we're honoring her at a reception this afternoon. And interestingly enough, the title of our conference is One Size Does Not Fit All. So it's perfect to today's discussion, and we're thrilled at where Lillian ended up because she knows aging, she knows human services in general, and she's a brilliant woman. So we're really thrilled, and we think she'll keep aging on the radar screen.
Bobby Sackman, Director of Public Policy at the Council of Senior Centers and Services of New York City. Assemblyman Ron Kim of Queens, who brokered that deal between the seniors who were hanging out at that particular McDonald's at Northern Boulevard and Parsons Boulevard in Flushing, and the franchise owner. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much. Take care.
And coming up next, death and jaywalking on the Upper West Side. Stay with us.